This evening we're going to talk upon the subject above. We find in Colossians the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 4, the Apostle Paul says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." We want to direct our attention to that which is above. Of course, when we're speaking of something that is above, we're speaking of the subject of heaven, because that's what we see when we go outside and we look up. Up there beyond, what we see is the blue. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul referred to it as he knew a man and didn't know whether he was in the body or out of the body, and he was speaking of himself because he had received a image, or he had received a vision from God. He said this man was caught up into the third heaven. Well, the air that we breathe around us is known as one heaven, according to the olds. And then, of course, the heavens above, where the clouds, the stars, the moon, and the sun are at, is considered the second. And then the third heaven is considered beyond anything that we can see. It's sort of like when Elijah was with a young man, and the Syrian army had come down and encamped about the city. And he was standing there, and as they looked out on the hills, the young man was afraid because he seen all those armies that were there that were looking for this prophet that had troubled them so. And he said, Elijah asked God to open the young man's eyes so that he would be able to see. And when he opened his eyes, he saw that those hills beyond those armies was lined with the army of God, that there were angels and chariots and more, so many more than the armies of man that were there. So there's something beyond what you and I can see. There's just certain things that God has given us the vision here on this earth to see. And beyond that, we're unable to penetrate and to see those things beyond. But we as Christians are told of a place that is wonderful, that is beautiful. It's a place of the greatest reward. And it's a place that we all desire and we all would like to go. And that is the place known as heaven. Earth is not our home. We don't look at earth as our home. It's just a place, as the song we sing says, we're just passing through. We're onward and going upward, and we're headed to a different land. We're headed to this place that is known as heaven. Heaven exists above. According to what Paul tells us here, that if we are risen with Christ, and when he talks about us being risen with him, he talks about us going into that watery grave of baptism. And he's mentioning to us that if we have been baptized, according to the 6th chapter of Romans, that if we have been baptized in the body of Christ, we have been baptized into his death. So this old man over here dies down here in baptism. He is dead, and we arise a new man, or a new creature, as he so tells us that we are. And so if we have risen with Christ, and this is what he's talking about, in the same way that Christ died, was buried, and rose from the dead, we die an old man when we're baptized into the body of Jesus Christ and arise to walk in newness of life. If we have risen with Christ, he says, and seek those things that are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So up there in heaven, the Bible tells us that is where God is at. On God's right hand is where Jesus is at. And he tells us that's exactly what we are to seek. That's what we're to look for. I think one of the problems that as Christians that we have today, because we get in such a busy life and there's so many things going on, we just don't think about heaven enough. We just don't think about it, maybe. In some ways we say, well, I haven't never seen it, so I don't know how to think upon it. Well, the Bible gives us ideas of what heaven is like, gives us symbols and things we can relate to. And we know that it will be simply a wonderful place, much beyond anything that we have here. And according to what Paul says, we should seek those things that are up there. So if we're busy seeking these things that are in heaven, we're not going to seek these things that are on earth. That's what he's telling us. We're not seeking monies and powers and wealth and other things that are on this earth when our affections, the things that we love, are in heaven. He says in verse 2, to set your affection on the things that are above. In other words, up here is where we direct the things that we love. The things of this earth are not things that we should love. You know, sometimes we look at a car, and as a young man, I'm sure that we've all had one of them cars, and you think, well, that guy really loves his car. Well, you really can't love a car, because a car can't love you back. And love is something that can only be demonstrated, really, by something perhaps that loves you back. The Bible tells us that the root of all evil is the love of money. In other words, when we think the things that we love, or when we put them first, or they become our affection, then they become the things that we desire. So if we desire the things that are of this life, things that are of this earth, we're not setting our affection on the things that are of heaven. We've got to think about what's up there in heaven for us to set our affections on it. What's up there? Well, there's the Father, you see. All the things that you've read about God, all the, His wonderfulness, His great might, His strength, His power, it's there. And He's there. And He's given you and I an opportunity to share that wonderful place with Him. And that's where our affection needs to be set. Up there, you see, is Jesus. The one who went out there to Calvary that day and died in my behalf. The one who bare my sins on the old tree. One who took my place. The one who loved me so much that He left this place of glory and came to this earth to do that. He's up there too. So that's where my affections need to be set. He says, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid in Christ, with Christ in God." How is our life hid? When He talks about this word hid, you know what He's referring to here? He's referring to this life that we have as a new Christian, as an individual, a new man. He says it's hid. Well, you know what people used to do with treasures? They used to hide them. That's what they did. They would take things that were of great value, and they didn't want somebody to steal it, or to take it, or to have it. So they would take it and they would hide it. That's where the old saying comes that you bury your money in the ground, or you put your money in a mattress, or you put it in a wall, or you put it somewhere. And people even to this day will do that because it's something that they treasure and something that they want, and they don't want anyone else to have it, so they'll hide it. Well, that's what He's talking about with you and me here. When He says that our life is hid in Christ by God, He's talking about something very precious. He's talking about that treasure that we have that's laid up for us up here, and it's hid there. In other words, no one's going to take it from you. No one can take it from you. When Christ, who is our life, is going to appear, He says in the fourth verse, then we're also going to appear with Him in glory. Up there in heaven is glory. Glory is, when you think of glory, perhaps you think of light, perhaps you think of power, perhaps you think of many things that are of just good, wholesome things. Well, that's what glory is all about. Because up there is God with His glory. Then Acts the second chapter and verse 19, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Here where Peter's given the preaching that he's doing on the day of Pentecost, he says that in the prophecy God said He would show wonders in heaven. And where's heaven? According to the sign, the word here, it is above. You know, Bill Cosby once said that there was no such thing as an atheist, and he said he could prove that, because he said if you've ever been in California where they had earthquakes, he says, I don't care what a man believes, when the ground begins to shake, he's going to look up. Well, I think that's very true. We look up. We need to be looking up. Up there, you see, is where we want to go. People have always looked upon hell as being down, or being in the opposite direction, beneath. But heaven is always looked upon as being up there, somewhere beyond this place. You ever gone out to the stars at night and looked up in the sky and just wonder what's way out there past all of that? Well, God has something in store for us that's beyond our imaginations, and it's above. In John 8:23, and He said unto them, ye are from beneath, I'm from above, ye are of this world, I am not of this world. Jesus says, I'm not of this world, I'm not from down here, He says, where this place is and all this worldly government and all the worldly sin and all. He says, I'm from above. Well, that puts it up there at heaven. That's where Jesus says He is from, and that's where He went back to the right hand of God. And being there, He's gone as He promised to prepare you and I a place that where He is, there He can take us to be with Him for eternity. We should seek then that which is above. John 19:11, Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that hath delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. Here He speaks when Jesus was taken to Pilate to be tried. And Pilate told Him of the power that He had to either have Him crucified or to release Him. And Jesus said, You'd have no power at all against me, except it was given thee from above. But those that turned me over to you, those high priests and those sad Sanhedrins, He says, they will bear the greater sin in this matter because of what they have done. But Jesus points out that power is from above. It's from God. And that's where God is at. He is up there in heaven. He is up there with His power and His glory. Galatians 4:26 says, But Jerusalem, which is above is free, which is the mother of us all. Paul says to these Jews, as he's speaking primarily to them, who held so much emphasis on the city of Jerusalem, because Jerusalem was the place that God picked, that he said, I will put my name there. And at Jerusalem is where the temple was built, and where the Jews had to go and worship God. And Paul says that the new Jerusalem, it's above. It's not here. If you want to think about a place that's precious, and you would have to really think a lot to put yourself in the mind of a Jew and how much Jerusalem meant to them. What it means to Jews today, but what it meant to them in that time was tremendous. It was their nation. It was their homeland. It was the capital. It was the place that the temple was at. It meant a great deal to them. Paul says, well, look, I want to tell you something. He says, that Jerusalem over there, it don't hold nothing no more. But he said, the new Jerusalem, it's up there. He says it's above, and that's exactly where we should set our sights, is up there. Philippians 3 and 14 says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The word that is used here for high simply means above. It is the same word that is interpreted from the Greek. He said he pressed towards the mark for the prize of the above calling, you could say, because that's what he's talking about. Up there, above, is where our calling's at. God's calling us to come home. He's calling us to come up there and to be with Him. And we need to think about all the wonderful things that heaven has to offer and all the miserable things that this old world has to offer. John said in the second chapter of the first epistle of John that all that is in the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's all this old world has to offer you and me or any person. No, the things that a Christian seeks is up there. It's not the things that are here, but it's the things that are up there. That's what we all seek, where we all want to go. James says in 1 and 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Up there, he says, is good gifts, and every good gift comes from God. All good things come from Him. There's nothing good that's going to come from here, but it comes from God. We as Christians need to seek that which is above. There's many reasons for seeking it. One, we set our eyes on the goal, and then likely or not, you won't take your eyes off of it. One of the things is a few years ago, I had the opportunity to go into some of the schools in the area and do a mentor program. Take some of the children that were there that were in trouble and talk to them and try to help them through so that they would be able to do something better, make better grades. And you know what the one thing we were taught to teach these kids was that they needed to have a goal. They needed to know what they were doing all this for, what they were going to school for, what was the long-term plan, what were they looking for when they get out of school. By putting that kind of thought into perspective, it helped them understand what they needed to get out of school. Well, you see, that's what you and I need to do, is keep our eye on that goal, that high calling that's up there in heaven, and don't take our eyes off of it. If we start looking at this world and what it has to offer, then it's going to begin to pale what we think about up there. We're going to think less about what's up there, more about what's here. There's so many things here that would get our attention. There's so many things here that needs our attention. There's family, there's church matters, there's loved ones, there's friends, there's jobs, there's school. There's a lot of things that take our attention. But our main attention should still be focused on what's up there, what's above, where you want to be, and all those we just mentioned, you would want them to go with you there. Matthew 5 and 16. He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We should live our life so that people could see the works that we do and that they would glorify God, which is where? He's in heaven. In Matthew 5 and 12, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Yes, up there in heaven is our reward. It's what we're going to be rewarded with one day. It's what the children of God is going to receive. In Matthew 6 and 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Up there in heaven, you see, God's will is done all the time. It's not like down here. It's not here where we have wars and we have fightings and we have people that don't do God's will. Up there, everybody does God's will. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Because up there, you see, then, there won't be a need for a locked door. There won't be a need for any banks. There won't be a need for any want or need of anything. Because everyone there does God's will. Could you imagine what the world would be like if we did God's will, all of us? If all mankind lived the same and lived acceptably with God, what this place just might be like? Well, heaven is like that. It's very wonderful. In Matthew 6 and 20, but lay up yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Up there in heaven is where our treasure ought to be. Jesus said, where your heart is, where your treasure is where your heart will be also. That's the things you put in value. That's what he's talking about. It may not be money. It may be whatever it is. But whatever you hold in value is what is your treasure. He says, lay it up here. Well, I'll tell you what. There's no bank that I can go to and I can put money in that's going to go up there. There's no bank, there's no place that I can go to that I can put gold in and it's going to go up there. There's no place I can go and buy stocks or bonds or insurance policies or anything and it's going to go up there. There's no building that I can build here or nothing that I can make with my hands that's going to go up there. So what can go up there? What do I have that will be there, that I can lay up in treasure there? Well, I'll tell you, the things that will survive this old world. And Paul says there are three things: faith, hope, and charity. Charity being love. Those are the things that if I value, I can lay up in heaven, and they'll be there. And God will take care of them in the most safest place ever. No one will take them from you. No one will touch them. No one will be able to do anything with them at all, for they're laid up there for you. Matthew 22 and 30, for in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are the angels of God in heaven. Here God set up a wonderful system. He set up the system for a man to leave his mother and father and to marry a woman, and they start their own family. Here God took and created man from the dust of the earth. And from man, he removed a rib one day, and he created him a helpmate. He created Eve from Adam. He made it so that man and woman would be together. It's often been said that a man is only half a man without a woman. It's a wonderful thing and a wonderful relationship to share. But in heaven, we don't have that system no more. There's not a need for it anymore. And the reason for it is, we become like the angels. So, what's he telling us? Well, he's telling us that up there, you see, we don't have those bonds of flesh and blood that we have here. That's not important anymore, because up there we have a new resurrected body that's immortal. Every brother and sister in the body of Jesus Christ will be there with us. You will know them as you know yourself. It will be a wonderful thing. All that reunion. All those people there. And just like your brothers and sisters here, you'll be there, just like the angels in heaven. In Ephesians 3, 14 and 15, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Notice here he says that he bows his knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. That's everyone that's in the body of Jesus Christ. That's everyone that is going to be in heaven. Notice how he refers to it. He refers to heaven as being the whole family. That's everybody. You know, there's nothing like a family reunion. It's a wonderful thing. But you know what? It's always discouraging and it's always sad, even if just one member isn't there. If just one person of the family doesn't make it to the reunion, it's always a sad situation, because you think of how much more joyous it would be if all of them could be there. Well, you see, the reunion that's in heaven, the whole family will be there. There won't one be missing. Oh, there may be people that fall away down here on the wayside and don't inherit their family that they should and inherit the things that they should. But you can bet that when God puts the family together up there, they'll all be there. There won't be somebody off somewhere saying, I can't come because my job's too important. There won't be one somewhere else saying, well, I can't come because I'm too tired or I'm too sick or this or that or the other may be the reason. On that day when that reunion's called, they'll all be there. Every one of them. And that will be a wonderful family. Wonderful family reunion that you have been invited to. Hebrews 10:34, for ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Paul talked and said that the people that gave unto him of their things that they had, of their own substance, realized that up there in heaven they had a better and a more enduring substance. They were more than willing to give up some of the pennies that they had here to help the cause of Christ and help Paul on his journeys. They were more than willing to give up a few of the clothes that they had on their back to help him out with. They were more than willing to do those things to help him to get to the places he needed to promote the gospel, because those things really didn't mean anything to him, because up there, above, is a better and an enduring substance. 1 Peter 1:4 says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. In heaven, there is an inheritance that'll not fade away. I may inherit something in this life, or you may inherit something in this life, but it won't last. It's like the fool that Jesus talks about who had barns, but yet his crops and the things that he had was so great, his barn wouldn't hold it. I'll just tear this barn down and build bigger barns, he said, and I'll put all my goods in there. And Jesus says, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, and then whose shall those things be? Yes, our inheritance is up there in heaven. It's not here on this earth. Those things here on this earth, according to Peter, will melt with a fervent heat. They may have meaning to us today, but I'll guarantee you in heaven they won't. Because they won't even be there. There'll be no need for them there. You know, in heaven, the wonderful thing is, I won't have to get up and go to work. I really like that. You know, there are mornings that I just want to stay in bed and I just don't want to get up. But you know, up there, there's not going to be any morning because there'll never be any night. You know how sometimes you dread the night coming and the dark coming and knowing that there's a span of time that's dark that nothing really can be done except for man to rest. Well, up there, there's no dark. It's going to be light all the time because God and Jesus is the light thereof. Up there is no hunger. I don't have to worry about, is it dinner time? What am I going to have for breakfast, or where my next meal might come from? I don't have to worry about that because he tells me that he's put a tree up there. He calls it the tree of life. And it yields its fruits for the healing of the nations. So up there is a wonderful place of food. You know, I once said, I don't know if there'll be any fishing in heaven. It kind of makes me wonder if that's really what I want, because I don't know that there'll be any fishing there, and I enjoy fishing so much. But I'll tell you, there'll be so much joy there that it really won't matter. These things of earth that we enjoy, yes, we enjoy them. And there are things here that perhaps we enjoy immensely, but it won't compare. It just won't compare with what's above. Won't you come while we stand and sing?